people are sick at this time, and my wife, this begins her fourth week of being sick. She's been coughing, and it's like bronchitis or something, and she went to the doctor's office the other day for checking her blood. She has a blood thinner, and the nurse didn't think the doctor could help her, and she doesn't have any fever or anything like that. But so a lot of people are sick. I've been sick for some time. I thank Brother Ben and Brother Allen for preaching in my place a couple weeks ago. I was sick for just a few days, but it didn't take me long to get over, and I'm thankful for that. But it's good that we can be here this morning. We don't have any snow or ice out there, and it's good that we can assemble to worship God. We'd like to study this morning on the subject of Bible bees. In this lesson, I wish to make a play on the word bee. God wants us to be a certain way to please Him. And there's several Bible bees in the Bible that we can please God if we have these. For example, we're told to be kind. Be kind to other people. It doesn't cost us anything to be kind to others. We can help others. We see them, they need maybe something happens and they need help. Or we can help them and be kind to them and be courteous and friendly to them. Yes, to be kind is to be friendly. We need to be friendly with all people. Be gracious, benevolent, sympathetic with others, considerate of others. Sometimes those that we love the most, maybe we're unkind to them. Maybe your wife or your husband or your children, we're around them a lot, and sometimes we become irritated and upset, and we're not kind as we should be. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so Paul says, be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted. I believe that a tender-hearted person will be kind and be forgiving of others. Christians are to put away unkindness. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, there's things that we're to put on when we become Christians. There's things that we're to take off. And he said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so as Christians, we're to put off these things, bitterness. We're not to be bitter toward others. We're not to have wrath and be angry and have malice toward others. And so let's be kind to one another and considerate of one another. Kindness is linked to forgiveness. When we fail to forgive others, we're not kind to that person. Anger takes over. I've known of children that are angry with maybe their father, and they're not kind. They don't appreciate their father or their mother. Well, we're to be kind toward all men. Kindness is linked to love. If we love a person, we're going to be kind to them and considerate of them. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, love suffers long, that is patient. It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. And so love is kind. When I love people, I'm going to be kind to them, be good to them. Kindness is one of the Christian graces. We're to add to our faith kindness. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 7, he says, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity or love. And so we're to add all these things to our faith in order to please God. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. Kindness and love go together. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. in honor, preferring one another. And so as Christians, we're to prefer one another, be kind to one another, and have brotherly love. Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. Yes, if we're good to people, we're kind to people, we help people, then they want to be a Christian also. I know my next door neighbor, Curtis Rogers. I cut his grass for a number of years until I had a heart attack, and we were friendly to one another and kind to one another. And he studied the scriptures. He became a Christian. I think it was being kind and being courteous and friendly maybe led to his conversion. And then his brother and his brother's wife also were converted. And so if we're kind to others and help others and do things for others, they're more likely to be converted, to become Christians. And don't expect to be happy if you're not a kind person. Yes, if we're not kind, then we're not going to be happy. But also the Bible tells us to be sober, to be sober-minded, sober, temperate, calm, be under control, to be watchful, have a sound mind, be serious, and to think clearly. Some time back, I had a lot of back trouble. I had pinched nerves. I went to the pain clinic, and I told the doctor at the pain clinic, I don't want any pain pills that will affect my mind. I have enough problems thinking clearly without some kind of medicine, and a lot of medicine will fog your mind. You can't think clearly. He gave me different kinds of pain pills, and I'd take 3 or 4, and they didn't help, and I ended up taking a bag full of medicine back to the doctor and told him they weren't doing me any good, and I just wonder if there's any pain medicine that will help a pinched nerve. But anyway, medicine that will fog your minds and keep you from thinking clearly is not certainly not good for you. Yes, we're to be able to fight the devil, to think soberly. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we're at battle with the devil. We need to be sober and be vigilant to overcome and resist the devil. Gird up the loins of your mind, Peter said, and be sober. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up your minds and be sober. As a Christian, we're to use our minds. Christianity is a thinking religion. We think. We study the Word of God. We grow in knowledge of God's will. Yes, use our minds in the right way, thinking about spiritual things, and be sober-minded. And he says we have that hope of that grace to the end. Also, to be sober helps us to pray and be prepared. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Yes, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray. And so we're to be sober and watch and pray to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now he's not talking about physical sleep. We need sleep. But spiritually, we're to be watchful and to be sober-minded. If we do not take our worship to God serious, then we're not going to put much into it. Yes, our singing, our prayers, our meditation on God's Word, we're to be serious and sober-minded. Also, we're to be content. So many people today are not content. with what they have. And that's why they go to these casinos. They buy the lottery tickets because they're greedy and covetous, and they're not content with what they have. Yes, to be content, to be fulfilled, to be happy with what we have. Yes, in this country, we're all rich. We have all the food we need, the clothes to wear, shelter. We have those things that we really need, and we should be content with those things. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want. I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Yes, there were times when Paul was hungry. There were times when he was being beaten. He suffered greatly. But he said, "I learned to be content in whatever state I'm in." We need to learn what Paul learned. Paul is not suggesting laziness. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, "that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." And so God wants us to stay busy and to work, but he wants us to be content with what we have. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, "for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Contentment helps us to be thankful, to appreciate what we have. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, "having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Yes, we should be happy and be thankful for all the blessings that we have. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so let's not be covetous. Let's not love money or material things, but let's be content with what we have. We don't have to have all these things that's out there in the world. You go to the store, there's so many things. Let's not let ourselves be tempted and buy those things that we don't need. We can't let our troubles keep us from contentment. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 through 10, he says, "we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies." Yes, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our bodies. Paul said he was troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, but it did not cause him to be discouraged. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, Paul says, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." And so all the suffering that Paul did, beaten many times, stoned and beaten with rods and shipwrecked, but he says it was only for a moment in comparison to that eternal home in heaven. What are the signs of discontentment? Murmuring. When we start murmuring, complaining about things. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, "neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they continually murmured and complained against God and against Moses. God doesn't want us to murmur and complain. In Philippians 2 and verse 14, "do all things without murmurings and disputings." And so let's be content. Also, a sign of discontentment is anxiety and worry. Yes, when we worry about things, it shows that we're not content with what we have. In Luke 12, verse 22, beginning, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Life is more than meat, and body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than they, the fowls?" And so God loves us, and God will provide for us, and we don't have to worry and be afraid. Yes, fear also is a sign of discontentment. God doesn't want us to fear. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus said, "I'll give you this peace." 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so fear is a sign of discontentment. The greatest success for man is godliness with contentment. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 and 7, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain that we can carry nothing out." And so we're going to die. We're not going to take anything with us. And so let's be happy and content with what we have. Only in Christ can we find contentment. Also another B in the Bible, be strong. Yes, be strong. Be strong spiritually. I know physically I'm a lot weaker now than I was when I was young. I had jobs where I had to do a lot of heavy lifting in a paper mill. Also used to, I'd go get birdseed. I'd get a 50-pound bag. Today I get a 20-pound bag. My muscles are a lot weaker than they used to be. But to be strong spiritually is far more important than being strong physically. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in Christ. God is strong, and he wants us to be strong spiritually. Yes, Paul said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christians get strength from God. Also, to be strong, we have to put on the whole armor of God. Prepare for the battle against Satan. Put on that armor. Paul said in Ephesians 6, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And so let's put on the whole armor of God. Take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit in fighting against the devil. Paul calls upon Timothy to be strong in grace, that is, in God's favor. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Our strength is shown in the things that we stand for. Our weaknesses are shown in the things that we fall for. And so let's stand fast. Let's be strong spiritually. Let's not be weak. We must be strong to keep us from falling. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men," that is, behave like men, and be strong. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. He says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many in the church at Corinth were weak, sickly, and they were dead spiritually. Jesus was strong in every way, and we must follow his example. Be strong in the Lord. Let's not be weak. Let's not be sickly. Also, be ready. Yes, we're to be ready. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul said that he was ready. He was ready to die and be with the Lord. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Paul says, I'm ready. Can we say that we're ready for death, that we're ready for the judgment? This life is the time to get ready for Christ. Jesus taught in Matthew 25 about being prepared for his coming. He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so are we like the wise virgins or the foolish virgins? Are we prepared? Are we ready for Jesus and his coming? We must be ready to defend the truth, stand up for God's word. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear. And so when people ask us, why are you a Christian, or how do you become a Christian, are we ready to answer them from the scriptures? Be ready to battle Satan. We must be ready for every good work. In Titus 3 and verse 1, Paul says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Be ready at any hour for his coming. Yes, the prepared man succeeds. Also, we're told to be faithful. Yes, it's not always easy to be faithful to God. There's so many temptations and trials in this life. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, Jesus says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. It's sad when members of the church, maybe they're faithful for many years, but then when they get old, for some reason, something happens, they lose their faith, and they leave the church, and they'll be condemned in the judgment. They didn't remain faithful all their life. Yes, many begin the race, but they falter. The cares of this world, riches and the pleasures, cause many to fall away from Christ. Only the faithful are going to win. Yes, Paul says in verse 8, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Yes, Paul was faithful unto death. Yes, only the faithful will win. Well done are the words that are reserved for the faithful. Yes, in the day of judgment, Jesus will say, Matthew 25, verse 21, the Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Are we faithful? What about our car? Say, on Sunday morning, our car will start. But Sunday night, it won't start. Or Wednesday night, it won't start. Is that car faithful? Is it a good car? What about you and I? Are we faithful all the time? Faith offers peace in war, comfort in sorrow, light in darkness. In conclusion, there are many Bible B's that we are to have to please God. Be kind. Let's be kind to one another. Be sober-minded. Be content with what you have. Be strong in the Lord. Be ready. Be ready for the coming of Jesus, and be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you want to go to heaven, you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that he gave his son. Jesus suffered and he died on the cross and shed his blood that you might have forgiveness of your sins. But you must obey the gospel, become a Christian to be saved. And then you must be faithful to go to heaven. To become a Christian, you must believe and have faith in God. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then be baptized into Christ. Baptized for the remission of your sins. And so if you're here, you need to obey the gospel. Don't wait any longer. If you're a member, you've not been faithful, you're not living as you should, you need to repent and pray to God. And so if you're subject in any way, why don't you come while we stand and sing this song?